Of Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Join me Mondays at noon as we explore the universal energy that connects us all. Let's discuss our journey of self-discovery, joy, presence, and living with authenticity. We can create positive change in the world, and it starts within each one of us. Synchronicity, talk radio for your mind, body, and soul. Mondays at noon on CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver.
Hello, welcome to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thanks for being with me today. Happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas, and happy Kwanzaa, happy Festivus. And if there's anything else you're celebrating, I hope you're happy with that as well. So I'm not sure if I'm going to be here next week. So if I don't speak with you before, Happy New Year also. And so today we're going to be speaking with Connie Robichaud. She is the author of Keep It Simple, Spirit, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. And Connie Robichaud is a spiritual psychotherapist, spiritual mentor, hypnotherapist, intuitive clairvoyant, and clairsentient with over 20 years in administration, hospitals, home care, wellness, and nutrition. Her passion and mission in life is teaching mental wellness coping skills. She conducts seminars on healing your inner spirit, joyful living, and goal setting. She has a private practice in Kentville, Nova Scotia, and is a member of the Canadian Examining Board of Health Practitioners. Welcome to the show, Connie.
Thank you very much, Marie.
Thanks for being with me. So to start it off, what exactly is a spiritual psychotherapist?
Well, a spiritual psychotherapist is someone who deals with, you know, emotional issues, people's emotional issues, and blocks or anything that, you know, they can't move through. It's with the psychotherapy deals with, you know, all the tools can be anything to do with dream work, addictions, the chakras, the inner child, anything like that, relationships that's not, you know, that are not working. And the spirituality, I wanted a program that dealt with the spiritual aspect of it, because for me, in my life, there always has to be a spiritual component. So that for me was very important, to have that spirituality in there, the body, mind, and spirit, you know, spirituality aspect of it. So
I'm curious, I'm kind of moving away from the spirituality and more towards psychology. And I know that your book is sort of a combination of the two. You talk about angels, and I'd really love to talk more about that, because I used to talk about angels on the show. I don't believe in them anymore. So okay. How do you work with them?
Okay. For me, the angels are merely messengers. Okay, they're spiritual messengers from, you know, higher power, for God, from whichever name you want to give it. And they give me messages for healing for other people. And they are part of my support team. So when I need to clear energy, when I need to ground myself, when I need to do healing for other people, I always ask their presence with me, with the healing, because I am not the healer. The client heals themselves, but I bring in the energy of all those, you know, spiritual beings, so that they are present for their healing.
Thank you for that. And so, Connie, so I'm curious, now you are trained as well in psychotherapy?
Yes. Yes. Yes, the psychotherapy that I, the course that I took, the training that I took was based in Toronto, and it was, the training itself is the psychotherapy, which is psychology and all, you know, all that mix of different modalities that are used. And over and above that, we had to have therapy sessions ourselves in order to finish our training. So I needed over 100 hours of individual therapy sessions. I needed over 60 hours of group sessions, and as well some intensive two-day group sessions, very intensive ones, 2 days consecutively, to heal my issues and to make sure that I was as clear a channel, as clear a person, a therapist, to be able to be in front of someone else and do their healing, assist them. And everyone in this course had to take, you know, all these therapy sessions so that we could be, imagine like facing someone who's got a lot of anger issues and that you haven't healed your issues. So that would trigger the therapist's issues, right? Because they may get angry or, so you have to be as clear as you can of issues so that you can honor someone else's journey.
That's interesting. I'm curious if issues still come up for you when you're in with a client.
Oh, of course. I mean, I'm human, so of course they do. But I've trained myself to bracket them. And by bracketing, I mean, okay, like let's say we're talking and you're talking about someone, maybe you have you're facing me with a lot of grief in your life. So you're talking about someone who's you've lost, and of course it may or may not dealing depends how much residue I have left in myself. But of course I'm human, and it probably touches. I wouldn't be a good therapist if I didn't have it. This just shows that I have compassion for that person. So if it does bring up something, I just take a deep breath and I say, okay, we're going to bracket this for now. We're going to put it aside. So you can either imagine like a closet door and just open the door, put it in there, and then say, but I will deal with you as soon as the session is over. So I always have to go back. I always have to tend to my own needs and take care of myself. And if an emotional issue arises while I'm having a session with a client, of course, I look at it and I resolve it after the session is done.
Now, Connie, I'm curious, your book, Keep It Simple Spirit, it really is practices like the title says, for peace of mind and loving yourself in a joyful life. But in your bio, it talks a little bit about what I was sent by your publicist, how you are wanting to combat the stigma of mental illness. So how does that relate to the book?
It relates to the book in the way that I see a lot of people out there that are not happy in their current life. They don't know exactly what they need. And I was one of those people, you know, quite a number of years ago. And I seem to have all the material things that I needed. And people would say, well, you seem to have it all. And you seem to have, you know, all your family life and the material things that you need. But I still felt empty inside. And so I wrote a book because relating to, you know, what I call the spirit, that inner child spark of ours that is internal. And unless it is nurtured and cared for and loved, it can present with issues, emotional issues in our current life. So let's say that you know, you are in a job that you absolutely do not like. So you go to work every day, you get up, you have to force yourself to go to work, and eventually you feel as if you are lacking something. You have a void inside, and you don't know what that void is, but you keep plugging along, you keep working, you keep keeping yourself busy with things, you keep buying things maybe, and you're completely missing your passion in life. You're completely avoiding that creative, joyful place in you know, that's in your spirit, in your heart. So a lot of people, what they do is they fill the void with something else. So the void can be filled with more busyness, you know, more work or keeping busy with other things. It can be filled with you know, anything overdoing, overeating, overshopping, overdrinking, anything like that, anything done to excess. And that is from the ego. That is from the fear and the doubt that creeps in when we are not being fulfilled and not tending to that inner child that is our inherent spirit that we were born with. So So that's the spiritual take that I have on this as well, is that the spirit is that part of you that needs to be nurtured and cared for. And when we don't feel fulfilled, then we start to blame other people. We start to look outside of ourselves for answers. While all, you know, in essence, the answers lie within.
Well, Connie, let's talk about, so right now we're speaking with Connie Robichaux. She is the author of Keep It Simple Spirit, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. And she is a spiritual psychotherapist, spiritual mentor, hypnotherapist, a bunch of other things. And what are some of the favorite tips that you have from Keep It Simple Spirit?
The favorite tips I have is one of them, which comes to mind quite a bit right now, is family ties that don't bind and gag. I read a book years and years ago, which was Irma Bombeck, and she was a humorist, and I loved her work. And she could take any situation and really turn it into something that was really funny and humorous, and you could place yourself in that scenario. And I try to see, like right now, you know, we're in the holidays and we're always trying to please people and, you know, relationships, and everything gets kind of, you know, wonky around this time of the year, especially because we are, you know, having more social gatherings with family and friends. And, you know, it's about reflecting, really looking at yourself, listing, like that one list, that one will make you have a list of 10. You have to make a list of 10 issues, 10 things that you do not like in someone else, absolutely do not like. So you don't have to list a person, but just the issues that you don't like in somebody else. So as you go through the list, you know, you just make 10. And then you look at them again with an objective eye, and you try to relate them to you. And most of the people that have done this exercise with me, you know, are just appalled, because right away they can find at least half of those that they are issues, they are traits or characteristics that they have and they own. So, you know, right away they become their own teacher, because then they think, well, maybe I'm a little bit more, you know, perfectionist as I thought, and you know, my aunt Jane or whatever, you know, is really perfectionist, and it really triggers me when she says, or when she, you know. So it's seeing yourself in other people, because we really are all one, and we're really more alike than we are not alike. And that's one of the chapters that is one of my favorite ones, and it gives you a new perspective about, you know, how people are, you know, are similar, they have similar traits. And so just changing the perception about seeing other people with different eyes, sometimes that shift is just enough that the relationship can improve and you can start loving that person in a different way. So instead of having family ties that bind and gag, you know, maybe, you know, you can shift them around to family ties that are really more peaceful and more in harmony with what, you know, with what you're seeking. Another favorite one that I like is I am my own best friend. And that is concerning self-love. And it's still called mirroring work, but it's really looking at yourself physically in the mirror and just realizing what you like and don't like about yourself. And can you live with the parts that you don't like? Let's say that, you know, a lot of women worry about cellulite these days. You know, you might have a little bit of cellulite on your legs or on your tummy or whatever, but can you look at it and say, you know, like especially your legs, can you think of your legs as, you know, like, I am mobile, I am walking, my legs are strong, and, you know, see the positive aspect of looking at your legs instead of the negative aspects. Because the body image is so ingrained in us, especially as women. As we grow up, a lot of us get negative self-image. And, you know, that beats down our self-esteem and self-confidence. And I remember years ago when I used to see magazines, you know, and, you know, the models. And I remember seeing Cindy Crawford, and she's still a very beautiful woman to this day. And I used to remember seeing her and thinking, oh, my goodness, if I could have, you know, her figure and all this. But then I realized that at 5'1", I'm never going to look like Cindy Crawford, you know, and I had to live with that fact that, you know, I can certainly make some improvements. I can certainly, you know, improve upon myself, my stamina, my physical health, my mental health. I can learn. I can be, you know, I can expand my mental capacity. And there's so many things, so many strong traits that I have. And so, you know, if we had the power to do this and to really work on our self-love and forgive ourselves for not treating ourselves, you know, as we should, and giving our bodies and our minds, you know, the messages that are positive, and being able to look in the mirror and say, I love you. Because we really are our own best friends. And if we're not our best friends, no one is going to treat us, you know, as kind as we possibly could. And that is nurturing that inner spark in yourself, treating yourself with kindness and love. And, you know, not from the ego, but from that inner spark, that inner child. And treating yourself and giving yourself care, self-care, nurturing, love, good food, you know, and being able to say no. All these are things that affect a person's self-esteem and confidence. And let me tell you, if everybody loved themselves fully, there would be no bullying in the schoolyard, because everybody would treat themselves with so much respect that they would just walk away and be able to do that with no hostility, with no, you know, with no sadness, and just say, I am just too worthy of this behavior, and just be able to walk away. That would solve a lot of issues.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Connie. Right now we're speaking with Connie Robichaud. She is the author of Keep It Simple, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and we'll be right back with more Synchronicity in a moment.
This is the sound of compost and recyclables going into the garbage. Garbage that ends up in the landfill, creating greenhouse gases. This is the sound of a more sustainable campus. You can make a difference when you sort it out. Learn more at sustain.ubc.ca/sortitout.
For over 30 years, Discorda has been bringing Vancouver local independent music journalism. If you're a fan, check out the Discorda readership survey on our site at discorda.ca. You could have a chance to win gift certificates to the Rickshaw, the Lido, and Vinyl Records.
This is my life. I wake up in the morning, I eat, I sleep, I shit.
Breakfast with the Browns.
So whatever it is, but I never shut it off for 5 minutes.
I can't wait to impress my friends with my astounding knowledge of cool.
Join your favorite Brownsters and tune in and listen to the best selection of down-tempo electropop lounge core.
Strictly Squaresville.
Remember, subtle, basic, Brown.
Breakfast with the Browns.
on CITR 101.9 FM every Monday morning.
From 8 a.m. to 11 a.m.
The older I get, the more life starts to make sense, and the less I care.
Now we're riding the rainbow, the clouds big, and we're making it light young. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville, and we're making it like you. Now we're riding the rainbow to Cloudsville. And
you know, you can give 100 examples of what it isn't, but you, man, you're going to have a hell of a time saying what it is.
Welcome back to Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for being with me today. This might possibly be the last show, the last Synchronicity episode of the year, because I just feel like I want to take next Monday off. But yeah, I just want to send lots of love to you. And thank you so much for listening all year. Or if you're a new listener, thanks for listening to this episode. And yeah, just I think I'm going to close the show a little bit early with some music by one of my favorite ladies, Surya Devi, because I'm just feeling a bit of stress today, and I feel like it can get hectic over the holidays, and maybe we need a few moments to kind of chill out and focus on our breath. But right now, we are speaking with Connie Robichaud. She is the author of Keep It Simple Spirit, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. Welcome back to the show, Connie.
Thank you very much, Marie.
Thanks for being with me. So you talked about being your own best friend, and I really loved, I actually had that, the list of the 10 things you dislike about others, that exercise. I had made a note of that because I felt like that was quite profound. And I'm curious, you mentioned a therapy teddy bear in the book, and I wanted to talk about that a little bit because I'm kind of curious.
Yeah, his name is Theodore, of course, and he knows more secrets, I think, than my husband does. It was recommended by our teachers in Toronto that we should get the involvement of a teddy bear or a doll or something that was really soft and cuddly. Because as I explained earlier, that taps into our inner child, and it nurtures us, and it makes us go back, go back in time and heal something that hasn't been healed. Psychotherapy is about going back into the past, a lot of the issues that have started in childhood, and or at the earliest that the person can remember. So we go back, and at the earliest recollection, that they have been wounded, because now we're talking about the wounded inner child or their little spirit. So we go back in time, and we review the incident, and we heal it. And while they're healing, a lot of people, it seems that when they are hugging something soft and cuddly like a teddy bear, they can bring it more, they can bring the incident more easily and more kindly, with themselves than if they are, without a prop like that. And sometimes I use the prop, the teddy bear, as a way of them hugging their little person, so we sometimes bring that little person into the room, so to speak, and say, can you give yourself, can you forgive yourself for having done that, before we move on into the present. So the aid of a teddy bear, holding it and squeezing it and loving it and sometimes, a lot of times, will bring tears and emotional issues to the surface, and they can deal with them better, because the teddy bear, does bring us back to childhood. And the issue is, too, that when you feel that you haven't had everything, our parents always did the best that they could. And when you feel that you haven't had what your parents could give you, or your guardians, whoever was taking care of you, your caregivers, and now as an adult, it's up to you to give yourself that kindness and that nurturing. So you have to become a parent to yourself. So I find that the aid of the teddy bear really, you know, brings it together. And not everybody likes it, but, you know, when they do, you know, and when I see that they're ready, I just, you know, it's always, my teddy bear is always here. And I just tell them, like, would you like to give yourself a hug? So rather than just, some of them feel kind of silly just giving themselves a hug. But if I give them, it's very soft, a very, very soft and cuddly teddy bear. And they hug the teddy bear, and I'll say, this is your little person that you're hugging, and just bring that love into your heart. And it works, you know, it works wonders, you know, for that person. So, and it's really, really a great process to see.
Hmm. So I'm curious, let's say, because I'm thinking I might need like 8 teddy bears. I'm like, oh, maybe I should go out and get one. Maybe after Christmas when the toy store isn't so busy. But so let's say you have a teddy bear at home. When would you use that, or how would you remind yourself? What would that look like with sort of the personal home use of the teddy bear?
Well, it could be when you would, and it can be for fun too. Don't forget, like in the chapter, I say sometimes I'm alone and I'm just feeling sad. Like if there's anything, any feeling that comes into your mind, well, your heart, you know, oh, gee, I'm really feeling sad today, because a lot of people experience the blues, you know, around Christmas, especially because it can be a happy time, but it can also bring, you know, feelings of sadness, you know, maybe of someone that they've lost, or maybe they're feeling alone. And anything like that, especially childhood emotions like sadness, maybe loss, maybe feeling unloved, you know, loneliness, anything like, you know, all those childhood emotions. And just grab the teddy bear and just like take a few deep breaths and just, you know, hug the teddy bear and just, you know, bring all that love and caring that you can muster, you know, and just into your heart and just try to, with the breath and just hugging that soft little teddy, you know, just to bring in the love, as much love, and just to release anything that is not, you know, that is not serving you at that moment. So I find it brings you back into the present moment, and hopefully you can, you know, see once you release all that sadness or loneliness, whatever you're feeling, you can have that shift of perspective and try to see the things that you are grateful for in your life. And, you know, that teddy bear is, when you are doing that, you are really parenting. Just imagine the teddy bear as your little person. So as little Marie, you know, you would be hugging, the teddy bear would be little Marie, and you would be hugging that teddy bear and just saying, they're there now, little Marie, you are safe, you know, and I am going to nurture and take care of you, and you don't need to feel this sadness right now. You know, we are together in this, and we're a team, and we can walk forth in life. And, you know, the little person represents the fun and the joy and the creativity in your life. So whenever we're not having that, whenever we're not creative and not joyful and not full of fun, that is an issue of inner child. And so you have to go back and say, what is it that I need for fun? Maybe it's just going out to a movie. Maybe it's just, you know, grabbing that teddy bear and just dancing silly around the room. I just, sometimes when I just need to shake things off, I just crank up the music, you know, and just start dancing around and, you know, and just that sometimes, just shaking things out, you know, will give you a different perspective on life. You know, it just takes a few minutes. And it's you know, it's quite inexpensive to try. So nurture that inner spirit of yours.
Mm. Yay, I love that. I'm going to be getting a teddy bear, I think. I have a Cabbage Patch Kid that I've had since I was like 7, but its head is all hard and plastic.
Yeah. Well, it could probably still work, you know. It doesn't, the head doesn't have to be completely, you know, completely soft, even though the head is made of plastic. Some people find dolls work better, you know, a softer doll than a teddy bear, and that's entirely up to the individual. So I just mentioned a teddy bear because, you know, I love teddy bears and they're soft and cuddly, you know, so mm-hmm. my inner child likes to have little teddy bears. So, yeah. But it's a preference.
Cool. Well, Connie, it has been such a pleasure speaking with you. I'm really feeling like I want to play some music in a little bit. But I'm wondering, what is, for the last few minutes of our chat, what do you think is the most important thing that you want to focus on?
Well, the thing that I'd like to focus on, I think, is, well, of course, the few things I'd like to say about the book is I think it's written for people who are ready to heal and who need simple coping methods. The language is simple. There's techniques and tools to use. They can apply them, and that's the trick. Anything that you, any self-help book or any healing modality, you have to apply them, and start small. You know, start if you haven't ever done any of this work before. You know, start small, baby steps, and just build on them. There's reflections at the end of each chapter, and there's pages of notes so that if you just need a pen, you just have to write notes. And I wrote the book because I wanted to place healing in the hands of as many people as I could. We live in a really, really rural area of Nova Scotia, of Canada, and I find that sometimes people, you know, it's hard for them to get out and to find you know, mental wellness, you know, skills and techniques. So it was that's the purpose of it. In closing, I'd like to say that, you know, be kind to yourself, be true to yourself. With awareness and acceptance and action, you can work miracles, really. Awareness is key. And of knowing what is not working out for yourself. And with these tips and techniques, you know, you'd get to find little tidbits about what may not be working and try to achieve that little shift of perspective. You know, when you know not what's not working, then you can accept that and say, well, maybe it's about me. Maybe it's not about that other person. And looking inside yourself and seeing, you know, are you happy doing what you're doing, or are you happy? Are you passionate about what you're doing in life? Are you creative? Are you joyful? And open your spirit to healing, filling that void that you have in your life that you may not be entirely happy. What are you craving? So, you know, our ego makes us think that, you know, why would you think that you are good enough? Or pretty enough, or, you know, all that fear and doubt. And our spirit is that, you know, that spark that is really joyful and creative and that trusts, you know, and is passionate about life, so living life to the fullest. So, you know, just love yourself, respect yourself, and just keep going. It's the journey is not about racing to the finish line. It's all about lessons and meeting teachers along the way that will keep giving us the lesson unless we really heal it the first time. So, and just have fun with it.
Thank you. That was so lovely. It made me think of when you said the lesson, the journey isn't to race to the finish line. I was thinking about people on the road right now at the holidays. It's not a race.
I know. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It's just being present to your life. And when you start to check in, I call them check-ins with yourself. When you start to check in with yourself and seeing what and feeling what's not working in your life and start, you know, even just a little journal. I know a lot of people don't like to journal. But that's really the only way that you're going to see how far you've come, you know, and improving on your skills and your strengths and keeping things positively. So, you know, I find that journaling will keep you current. And having an attitude of gratitude is another great thing to have, because it doesn't matter what others have in their lives. If you're grateful for what you have, you are placing yourself in an essence of abundance, you know, because even though you have a better car than I do, I still have a car, you know, and I get in and I drive to work and I, so, you know, I'm grateful I have a car. I'm grateful for all the wonderful supportive people I have in my life, you know, and I'm grateful I have food in my fridge. And there's a lot of things that I'm grateful for in my life. So being grateful places us in the present moment, and it places us in a state of abundance. So that is really key, I find, gratefulness. And especially, I mean, we feel grateful for a lot of things around Thanksgiving and Christmas and the holidays, perhaps, but we should feel grateful every day. So just breathing and connecting with yourself and just, you know, having that awareness of what may not be working in your life and making a choice to improve it. Mm-hmm. Maybe that could be a 2015 resolution.
Woohoo, more gratitude.
Awesome. We never have too much.
Well, the name of the book is Keep It Simple Spirit, Simple Practices for Peace of Mind, Loving Yourself, and a Joyful Life. The author and our guest today is Connie Robichaux. And if people want to get in touch with you for a session or anything like that, what's the best way to get in touch?
My email is connie@therapy3.org. connie@therapy3.org. And I have a webpage, www.therapy3.org. So
wonderful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. Is there anything else you want to add before we say Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays?
No, I think that's it. I thank you very much for having me on your show. And I wish you all the best during the holidays and into the new year.
Thank you so much. Happy holidays, Connie.
Same to you, Marie.
Take care. So with that in mind, talking about gratitude, I'm going to play The Grateful Song by one of my favorite people ever, Surya Devi. She is, well, if you are a regular listener, you know who she is, but she's a local Vancouver musician, super lovely, so much fun. She's always here every year for the Fun Drive, plays live music, and I sing along, and it's lots of fun. So we'll start off this little bit of music with The Grateful Song here on Synchronicity.
Namaste. This is a very special song. The original chorus, I believe, comes direct from source, of course, as does the whole song, as does everything. But through a lovely man named Andrew Luisi, spiritarian.com, the verses were written, as I understand, in about 5 minutes in the car of my dear friend, Annalisa Fattini. And then she sent it to me, and I took one look at it, and it turned into a song within about 5-10 minutes. So when things like that happen, you gotta know it's, I don't know, something magical at play. So we call it The Grateful Song. Everybody's searching just like me. It's easy to see how life is filled with impossibility. Running from fate, looking for an escape is oh so easy. Look around and see.
Stay.
powerful message upon us. It's hard not to see the signs all around us. How long will it take to wake the true love within us? And it's
Chidananda, Parabrahma, Purushottama, Paramatma, Sri Bhagavati Same. Thank you.
Namaste. This is Surya, and this is Order to the Chaos.
Oh,
That was Surya Devi. This is Synchronicity Talk Radio for your mind, body, and soul. I'm your host, Marie Bernard, and that is it for the year for Synchronicity. So I will talk to you and talk with you next year. DJ Chris Horrific with Parts Unknown is not going to be in today. He's at home with his little monkey. Yeah, so I'm going to play some of our holiday Christmas CITR mix. So I just want to, again, wish you happy holidays. And I forgot to mention winter solstice. That was yesterday. So if you celebrated that, happy winter solstice, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, Merry Christmas, and happy Festivus. Take care. Love you so much. Have a wonderful rest of 2014 and happy New Year as well. I love you so much. Namaste.